Welcome to the City Life Podcast. I'm Tim Woody, the pastor of City Life Church in downtown Fort Worth. There is purpose for your life. There's a destiny you have yet to walk into, and there is hope regardless of what you're facing today. I encourage you to open your heart now to what God will be speaking to you over these next few minutes.
Well, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to the book of Jeremiah. We'll be looking at Jeremiah chapter 38, starting in verse 2. And it was about 13 years ago that we started City Life Church, about 13 years ago. And back in those days, we lived in Dallas, so we had to make an extraordinarily long commute to church every Sunday. And a few people actually that are serving here at church do live in Dallas as well. And we are very thankful for them. But it took about an hour to get there. And we lived in a place called DeSoto. DeSoto. How many of y'all have heard of DeSoto? It was a very fun, interesting place. But we lived in a really, really nice house, and behind our house, we had this, it was like an overflowing creek that created a small pond in our backyard, and it was actually very interesting, but we had a little rowboat, like an aluminum boat that we could take onto the pond, and my brothers and I would usually go and get into the boat and row around and sometimes fish, one time swim, and that did not turn out very good. But those are my two brothers right there, and that is that pond. But I also want to show you a picture of what I look like around that time. You can go ahead and put it on the screen. I'm the one on the far right. I'm the one wearing the pirate shirt that looked like a scarecrow. I was about 12, 13, whenever that picture was taken. And that I would have been around that age whenever this particular story happened. Now, one day I was with my brother Devin, and we had gotten into that aluminum rowboat, and we got onto the pond, and we started paddling in the murky gray water. And we were trying to paddle to the other side because that was someone else's private property. But at that time, we were young boys, and it didn't matter that it was someone else's private property. We were going to go and explore it. And so we would paddle and row, and we made it to a place where we could dock the boat. But you would have to jump out of the boat because there was no wooden dock or anything. You would have to jump out and drag the boat onto the shore so it wouldn't float away. And this particular time, it was my turn to jump out of the boat and to draw the boat to the shore so my brother could get in. And it didn't turn out very good. I got onto the bow of the boat, and I was looking out to see where I would jump onto, and it was this patch of dirt that was by the water. It's like, okay, I've done this a few times. I know what to do. And so I leapt, and I made contact with that dirt patch, but as soon as I had done so, I realized that it was not a dirt patch. On the top it was, but it was actually a mud pit, and I sank like a few feet into this terrible Texas sludge, and I sank down, and immediately I was petrified. It took a few seconds for me to realize what had actually happened, and I couldn't even move my legs. Now, growing up, I had three fears. One was tornadoes. I had seen The Wizard of Oz. I know how tornadoes go. My second fear was spiders. I had seen The Return of the King. I know how spiders act. And last was quicksand. And it really wasn't actually from a movie that terrified me or that scared me of quicksand, but it was actually my father. One day we were camping, and he told me about a fictional character that sank in the Texas sludge lake, and that terrified me. So whenever it was actually happening to me and my fears were being realized, it was petrifying. and I tried to move my legs out of the mud, and I couldn't. But it was good because I had my brother with me, and he was able to bring the boat a little bit closer, and I was able to grab the rope and pull the boat to where I was. He was able to pull me out, but in doing so, I left my flip-flops behind. They were stuck in the mud, and there was no way we were getting those out. Now, that's a funny story whenever it happens to a young teenager, whenever they're stuck in mud. But sometimes life can be like that. Life can be like that for us. We're going through life. Things are nice. Things are happy. We're with the people we love. And then we find ourselves sinking in a miry sludge pit. One moment we're happy and full of optimism and joy, and the next we're sinking into despair and hopelessness. And maybe a few of y'all are going through something very similar right now where you've done the right thing, you've followed God, you've trusted him, and you're living out your calling and anointing, but things aren't going well and they seem to be getting worse. Now, this is a particular theme that happens in the scriptures a lot with heroes of faith. And there's a particular hero of faith I want to talk about. His name is Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, he was a man, he was a prophet called by God at a very young age to prophesy to Jerusalem. And it was probably the worst time in Jerusalem's history to be a prophet, because Jerusalem was very, very corrupt. Jerusalem was worshiping other gods and other idols. They were practicing child sacrifice. And their leaders were very corrupt. Kind of sounds like America. Now, Jeremiah, he was called to tell Jerusalem to repent, or the Babylonians would come and they would destroy Jerusalem. They would destroy the temple and the city. Now, Jeremiah, his prophecies fell on deaf ears, and he was abandoned by his family. He was abandoned by his mom and dad. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was betrayed, he was persecuted. His life was not fun. And Jeremiah, he was called by God. He was doing the right thing. He was doing what God had called him to do, but his life seemed to be getting worse and worse with every prophecy he uttered. And there's actually a whole chapter in the Bible where he complains to God, saying, every time I prophesy, things get worse. I don't want to prophesy anymore, but whenever I don't, it burns within me and I have to get it out. Now, things came to a head as Jerusalem was being besieged by the Babylonians. And they had been besieged for quite a while. And Jeremiah continued his prophecies, being obedient to God. Now, Jerusalem at that time, they were hopeful that their allies, Egypt, they would come and they would help them and they would save them. And they had actually heard word that Egypt was on their way to help them. But Jeremiah said, hey, these guys, the Egyptians, they're coming and they're scaring the Babylonians, but they're going to turn back and the Babylonians will come back and they're going to destroy this place. Now, I want to read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 38, starting in verse 2. So this was Jeremiah's prophecy. He said, this is what the Lord says. Whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine, or plague. But whoever goes over to the Babylonians, they will live. They will escape with their lives, and they will live. This is what the Lord says. The city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the king of Babylon, who will capture it. So what he was saying is, hey guys, it's time to abandon ship. If you do, you will keep your life. If you hold on to your pride and believe in your own strength and you stand tall, you're going to be knocked down. Then the officials said to their king, "This man should be put to death. He is discouraging the soldiers who are left in the city, as well as all the people, by the things he is saying to them. This man is not seeking the good of these people, but their ruin. He is in your hands," King Zedekiah answered. "The king can do nothing to oppose you." So the king said, "All right, do what you want. I don't care. He's not making me happy." So they took Jeremiah and put him in a cistern of Malachi, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud. Jeremiah sank into the mud. Now, Jeremiah had done everything right, and yet he was being lowered into a cistern, a dried up well, and he was sinking into the mud and the mire, literally and emotionally. He was sinking in despair and hopelessness. My message today is hope at the bottom of the cistern. Maybe you're right there with Jeremiah. You're just sinking in hopelessness. And things just don't seem to be getting better. And every time you try and free yourself, you just sink further down into the mire and the mud. Now, something I want to encourage y'all in is that Jeremiah was going through this situation, but other heroes of faith had been in very, very similar situations. And what's great is that they have encouragement for those who have done the right thing, and yet you're still drowning in that miry mud. David wrote a psalm literally about this topic. In Psalm 40, David wrote, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord, and they will put their trust in him." Now, sometimes we will have people that will be there to help pull us out of that despair and that hopelessness. Sometimes we won't. We're not promised that we'll always have someone right there beside us to help pull us out, except for God. God is the only one that will always walk with you. God will never forsake you. The scriptures say, even if my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will stand by me. I'm not saying that y'all have. My parents have never forsaken me. Now, Jeremiah was in a situation like that. He had been completely forsaken. But God was right there with him. And God still had a plan for Jeremiah. And God caused people's hearts to soften toward him. And they found out that Jeremiah was in the cistern left to die. And they went and they pulled him out. And he continued his prophecies. Now, even if you don't really have someone to lean on right now, or you're a leader, I want you to lean on God. The heroes of faith leaned on God, and they were not put to shame. They were not abandoned. I mean, if it's good enough for Jeremiah and it's good enough for David, then yeah, let's lean on God. God is the one that will pull you out. He will set you on a firm place. But if you put your trust in him, he will do that. You have to lean on him. You have to trust him. When you're in that low place, you have to look to him. And as you're continuing to do the things that God has called you to do, I want you to keep courage. Stay strong. I don't want you to give up. The Apostle Paul, he was a man who was going in and out of situations like that, of despair and hopelessness. He kept hope. And Paul wrote in Galatians 6, he said, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Now, I've specifically been preaching to those who have their callings identified and who have been pursuing God. But for those of you who don't know what your calling is, I want to talk about that. Now, I believe that God has made you for a reason. I believe that as long as there's breath in your lungs, then God has a plan for your life. And I even want to look at Jeremiah and his calling and how God called him and set him apart. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now, you can make the argument and say, that's for Jeremiah and not for me. That was a calling for Jeremiah, and I don't think that's something that's for me. It was special for him. But David, he wrote something very similar, and it's a psalm or a song that we're supposed to be singing as a praise to God. In Psalm 139, David said, "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now, David's psalm is for the reader. You're supposed to read that, and you're supposed to proclaim that yourself. God knew you. He knew all the days of your life. He set you apart. You may not know exactly what your calling is, but God does. And it's good to ask God and begin to seek him out so that he can reveal that calling to you. Now, growing up, I didn't necessarily know what my calling was. And I was very confused looking for identity and looking for a mission and a purpose. And then whenever we started this church, I started serving here. I started serving in the children's ministry, or I was a door greeter. I would help in the production booth in the back. And I just really helped wherever I was needed. And through that, I was able to find my identity and my purpose and my mission. I was better able to understand my calling that God had set me apart for. And really, I don't think I'm a special case. I believe that God can speak to you the same way he spoke to me. If you decide to really plow and begin to invest in the kingdom of God through generosity and serving, then I believe your life can be transformed. If you begin to give your life to God through your actions and just, I guess, submitting areas of your life that you really want to hold on to, I guess those are the places that we need to let go of the most. If you surrender those to God, then he'll be able to take that and turn it into something beautiful. Now, it's really impossible to know what the future holds for us, what tomorrow's going to be like, whether tomorrow you'll sink further into the mud, or whether you'll be pulled out. I want to encourage you with the words of Isaiah. God, he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and they fall. But those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and they will not be faint. Now, that only applies to those who have given their life to Jesus. Those who have given their life to Jesus and who pursue God. And I want to give you that opportunity. If you don't know what your calling is, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, then I want to give you this opportunity to begin this journey of faith. So if that's you, we'll just pray right now. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me along with everybody else in the room. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I recognize that my strength alone is not enough. I need you. I need your strength. I need your hope. I'm deciding today to put my trust in you. I surrender my life to you because I know that you have plans for me. You have a future for me, and that you love me, and you will never forsake me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jeremiah, he also wrote this as Jerusalem was to be scattered and destroyed, and the people were going to all the corners of the earth. Jeremiah, he wrote this as an encouragement, as they were aliens in a foreign land. And this can also apply to us too, as we're strangers in a foreign land, spiritually speaking. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, I just want to pray over all of y'all. If you're going through a situation where you need God and you're sinking in a miry pit like Jeremiah was, I just want to pray over you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless those in this room that are hearing my voice. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you would lift them up like Jeremiah and like David and like the Apostle Paul. I pray that you would raise them out of hopelessness and despair. I pray you would give them a new song. I pray that the difficulties and the turmoil they're going through right now, I pray that it would be a time of refinement for them so that they would be more and more the children that you've called them to be in Jesus' name. I pray that during this time, they will better understand your grace. They will better understand your love for them. And they will be filled with your Holy Spirit. And through the difficulty they go through, I pray that lives would be transformed through their obedience to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ian. Thank you so much for sharing God's word. Come on, would you thank Ian for sharing today? Thank you. You know, as he was preaching, it's very odd, but I had this flashback of an incident that happened when I was probably about 5 years old, which goes right along with what you shared. Because quite often you're doing the right thing, you're doing the noble thing, you're doing the godly thing, you're doing the good thing, you're doing the righteous thing, but you find yourself in a pit and you're worse off than when you started. And this is, I was probably 5 years old, no older than that. But I clearly recall it now, reviewing the whole thing in my mind, is I was in the woods with this little girl. Obviously, it wasn't Rebecca. I hadn't met her yet. I don't know, she was in the wrong part of the nation. But it was up in Washington State where I was a child, and we're out in the back of, in this rural area, in the back of property of the girl's parents. My parents had obviously dropped me off, and they were babysitting me or something. And so this little girl led me off into the woods, and we were out there, and there was this pit. There was this cistern. It was just straight down. And her kitten had fallen into it. And she says, I got to get the cat. I remember the cat meowing, and I remember feeling bad for her. I'm like, yeah, it's not my cat. But on the other hand, and I didn't even like cats. I still don't. But she just started crying, saying, well, my cat's going to die in there. What am I going to do? And so I, being the brave, noble 5-year-old boy, like, well, I'm going to come to the rescue. And so somehow I got down in there. And in my memory, I remember picking up the cat and then thinking, how am I going to get this cat out? And I had to throw the cat out, like way up high. And then I'm thinking, now how do I get out? And I couldn't get out. And it was dry in there. And then the girl says, there's usually water in this. And then the girl was looking. She said, you got to get out because the water's going to come and fill it up. And I mean, this is a mind of a five-year-old. And she says, I remember her saying, I think the bottom is starting to get higher. The water's coming up. The water's going to come. It's going to fill it up. And you're going to be stuck in there. And I remember at that point, I started praying. I'm like, okay, here I am. I did the right thing. I helped this girl out. And now I'm in a worse place. So I said, go get help. So she left and I was alone there in the woods for I don't know how long, but I was alone there in the woods in this pit by myself, worried about this water that was going to somehow fill this up and I was going to be stuck in there for the rest of my life, and then wondering, why did I wander into the woods with this girl? Why did I even help? I don't, just kind of regretting everything that I had done. But at the same time, I just started praying, saying, God, I know you'll help me to get out of this. I know you'll help me to get out. Well, the girl's dad and mom came, and the dad got down in there, and he lifted me out, and he was able to crawl out. In my mind, it was 10 feet deep. I don't know. It's probably maybe 5 feet deep. But he was he pulled me out, and I was able to get out, and he said, you know, this pit is usually full of water and mud. And I was like, yeah, I've been told. He said, you were lucky that it wasn't that way. That's the way I recall it all. But it is so real. So often we do the right thing, yet we find ourselves in a pit. And I encourage you to take those words that he shared with you and just keep believing that God is going to bring deliverance. Keep doing the right thing. Keep doing the right thing. Keep doing the right thing. And don't give up and don't give in. So I thank you, Ian, for sharing that word. It's especially encouraging to me as well. So God bless you guys. Will you guys please stand as Anthony comes to dismiss us and speak these words of blessing over us?
Thank you for tuning in to the City Life Church podcast. I would love for you to attend one of our worship services right here in downtown Fort Worth. So if you'd like more information, simply go to citylifefw.org. God bless.